Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we begin a new series titled Refocus with a message from Pastor Ray on practicing the presence of God. Now here's Pastor Ray.
Joy. You know, one of the things that you received or you will get in your discipleship toolkit are these highly engineered German binoculars, better than Zeiss. They're very, very expensive, but we had a good year, so we just went out of our way to get you some of these. And these will remind you that to keep your eye focused or refocused on what God is calling us to do and to be as disciples. Well, back in the 1990s, an author by the name of Herb Miller wrote a really interesting book, a great book if you get a chance to get it and read it. It's a very easy read, but it's called Connecting with God, Connecting with God. And in this book, he tells a very telling story of the only church in a very small town that called an all-night prayer meeting. Well, why'd they do that? Because a seedy nightclub had just opened up in their little community and they wanted to keep it pure. So they gathered together to pray that God would burn it to the ground. Well, within minutes of beginning to pray, lightning actually struck the club and it literally burned to the ground. The nightclub burned to the ground. Well, the owner got wind of what the church had prayed about and he took them to court and he sued them. And the church denied, interestingly, the church denied any responsibility in the matter. And so the judge that was hearing the lawsuit, the court case, after he had heard both sides, made this statement. He said that it seems wherever the guilt may lie, the nightclub owner believes in prayer while the church doesn't. Oh, boy, that's not good, is it? So we're launching this 2020 theme on getting back to the basics of discipleship. And nothing is as basic and as urgent than to believe in prayer and to practice it. Not just to believe in prayer, but to practice it. You know, prayer is the disciples' highest privilege. It is your greatest weapon. It is the master key to us unlocking God's presence and his power and his provision. Do you want more of God's presence in your life? More of his power in your life? More of his provision for you? Prayer is the master key. But if you look at the practices of the Western church, the church in North America, the church in Europe, you'd have to say that we really don't believe in prayer. We really don't believe in prayer. Well, you say, hey, I believe in prayer. And I say, hey, the proof is in the practice. The proof is in the practice. You know, for most of us, including me, I just need to confess this. Prayer is more of a theological construct than a hands-on experience. More of a theological construct than it is a hands-on experience. Now, I'm not fixing to guilt you or to guilt the church over its prayerlessness. But I think it's very important. If we're going to get back to the basics of discipleship and grow in the way the Lord wants us to, that we have to figure out, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? So that's a good question. So why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? Well, I think it is, at least in part, because of poor modeling. You know, when I was a kid, I would go spend a week or two in the summer with my maternal grandparents, Grammy and Granddad. Granddad was not a believer. In fact, he was far from God. Thankfully, at the end of his life, he accepted Jesus. But his wife, my maternal grandmother, Grammy, we called her, she was a very religious person, in the best and the worst sense of what it means to be a religious person. And so when I would go and stay with her, them, before I could go out and do anything that I wanted to do for that day, go out and play, go to the playground, go fishing with my granddad, whatever he wanted to do, she would insist that I pray an hour with her. She did this every day, and so she would go into her room and then she would drag me along. She would kneel at the extra bedroom. She would kneel at the bed. And she would begin to pray, and she would weep, and she would wail for an hour, I mean, at a high pitch, and she would confess the sins of her family, my granddad and my aunt and uncle and my mom. And that was so interesting to hear what my mom had been doing that Grammy was praying about. But it did not make prayer a compelling thing for me. So sometimes poor modeling, sometimes they're just bad teaching. Have you ever heard some preacher hammer on, could you not tarry with me 1 hour, and make you feel really bad that if you don't pray an hour of intense prayer like Jesus did in the garden, that you just didn't have a good prayer life? So sometimes bad teaching or misguided teaching. And then frankly, all of us have a resistant flesh, don't we? You know, in the beginning, when human beings fell into sin, what did they first do? They hid from God. There was separation from God. And so our fallen flesh tends to push away. We run from God. And so that's just a part of who we are. And then you add to that an enemy who throws everything at us, doesn't he? Including the kitchen sink, to keep us from praying. So poor modeling, bad teaching, resistant flesh, and a devil who hates praying Christians. You know, the devil hates praying Christians. These are the real culprits to our prayerlessness. But to grow in 2021 as disciples, we've got to overcome these culprits and develop robust prayerfulness. Every one of us in this room, watching online, who calls on the name of Christ, who claims to follow Christ, including this pastor, needs more than ever before to develop robust discipleship. If anything 2020 taught us is that we need to get back to the basics of discipleship, and the basic of the basic is prayerfulness. Robust, not just any kind of prayer, but robust prayerfulness. And there's no better way to do that than by looking at Jesus. Jesus was the master prayer, wasn't he? Jesus was the master prayer as he simply and compellingly modeled how we should pray. And so I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. By the way, I hope you've joined in already on the one-year Bible reading program that we're all going through. I'm doing it, and I know many of you are. It's fun to be doing this together collectively, even though we might be separate most of the time, at least during the week, and some of you are able to come in on Sundays. But this is a fantastic way to read God's Word, so I hope that you're doing that. And I hope today you will literally open a Bible, either your Bible, the real Bible, or the fake Bible on your phone, although it says the same thing. I'm just kidding there. Open your Bible app, to Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 through 13. It's a great teaching on prayer. And here's what it says. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, back in Jesus' day, when a rabbi had disciples, they would want to know and follow and imitate how that rabbi prayed. John's disciples learned how to pray like John did. Other rabbis would pray like their rabbi, and Jesus was considered a rabbi. He didn't call himself a rabbi, but others assumed he was. And his disciples says, look, we want to know how you pray so that we can pray like you do. And he said this, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, that comes from the Greek word anadia. And that's literally what it means. That's a great translation. Because of your shameless audacity to keep on asking, he will certainly get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, Jesus then says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Now, in the Greek tense, the Greek grammar, these words, knock, ask, seek, and knock, are in the present tense, which literally means a continuous action, right? So you could literally read this, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And that's part of that shameless audacity that God responds to in prayer. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, and what Jesus is referring to there is not like a wicked evil like a Hitler or someone like that, but because you're a fallen human being, you have fallen flesh, sinful flesh, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your father? Now, this is a rabbinical teaching technique to go from the general to the specific, or from the light to the heavy. And so Jesus is just using this technique here. He's not comparing God to a evil father or a human father. He's contrasting, if a father would do this, how much more will your father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, from this passage, Jesus gives us some essentials about robust prayerfulness, as Jesus himself prayed it. And I want to give you four of these essentials for turning prayer from an act of duty, if that's how you see it, or an act of drudgery, which some of us would see it like that as well, into the delight of praying. Have you come into the ongoing experience of prayer being a delightful thing that you look forward to? Well, Jesus, I think, is going to show us how. So let me give you these four essentials. So the first one is this. This is foundational, and this is so important. This is the starting block. That we start seeing prayer as relational, not impersonal.
That's good.
You got to see it that way, or you're not going to get out of the starting blocks of prayer. Prayer is relational, not impersonal. Jesus invites us to experience praying as an intimate encounter, and not an impersonal activity. And that's why we see in verse 1 that Jesus himself prayed. Jesus himself prayed. Think about that. God the Son, the pre-existent second person of the Trinity, didn't have to, but he did. He didn't have to, but he got to. He wanted to because it was an intimate encounter with God the Father, first person of the Trinity. You also see that the first word Jesus said that we're to use in verse 2 is what? Father. Father. An intimate relationship, Father. It's also the last thing that we read as Jesus talks about prayer, that Jesus said that we're to see our prayer relationship with God as a father-child relationship. We see that in verses 11 through 13. How much more will your Father give good gifts or give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So Jesus teaches that prayer, to use the title of Miller's book, is simply connecting with God. Connecting with God. It is an intimate relationship. More than that, he shows that it's connecting with a father who longs to connect with you, his child. It's not you just connecting with him. He's wanting to connect with you in a father-child relationship. So if you don't see prayer as relational connectivity, you'll always see it as required activity, something I've got to do. There'll be guilt surrounding it. And you'll approach it with a mindset of overcoming a distant deity's reluctance to hear and to answer your prayers. I think sometimes we feel like we've got to pray until we wear God down because he really doesn't want to do what we want him to do. Like that neighbor whose door was knocked on in the middle of the night. He says, "Go away, don't bother me, I'm asleep." That is not comparing God to that father, that earthly father. So if you see prayer, though, as overcoming his reluctance, you're going to wrongly assume that asking, seeking, and knocking until you're blue in the face is the only way to wear God down to get what you want. Not true. But if you see prayer as a way for a dependent child to engage a caring parent, you'll know it's neither a required activity nor overcoming reluctance. Rather, you're going to see it as coming to a father who longs for you to access his unlimited and willing generosity. God's generosity is unlimited, and he's so willing to open up the treasury of heaven to give you what you need, and sometimes even what you want when it's in line with his will. So he's not reluctant at all. So I think a much better way to think of prayer is as the 17th century Carmelite monk, Brother Lawrence, you've heard of him, Brother Lawrence, simply described it as practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. That really is a great way to look at and to experience prayer. And so I want to challenge you, everyone here, everyone listening online, I want to challenge you this first week of 2021 to go about the ordinary moments of your day by including God in everything. Well, you know, if you get up in the morning and you've got to make the bed, include God. If you're washing dishes, making breakfast, washing dishes, getting the kids ready to go off to school, ready to, you know, need, maybe you need to clean the house, sweep the floors, go to work, get ready for that. Whatever you do, just include God in that. How do you do that? Well, you just talk to God. Remember, it's practicing his presence. You're practicing that he's right there beside you, and he truly is. And you say things like, Father, what do you think about this? Abba, I need your help with that. Papa God, thank you for that. I mean, it's as simple as that. And that's what Brother Lawrence taught. Whatever you do, just include God in your day. That's practicing God's presence. And it comes from the personal connection that Jesus invites you to have and me to have with our and his Heavenly Father. It is an intimate encounter. It starts there, an intimate encounter, not an impersonal activity. Good. And then, two, this is important as well, start seeing prayer as simple, not complex. Simple prayer. It is simple and not complex. You'll notice that the Lord's Prayer here in Luke 11 is much shorter and more concise than the more well-known one that we normally quote in Matthew chapter 6. And maybe you thought as I was reading that I shortened it. I didn't. That's not the result of, because I wanted more time to talk what I wanted to say. Now, it's not the result of someone editing Luke's version down to just a few words so that it would fit into a Twitter tweet. That's not what's going on here. I think it's the Holy Spirit intentionally directing Luke to remind us that the simpler prayer is, the more it aligns with Jesus' practice of prayer. The simpler it is, the more it's like Jesus. The simpler it is, the better it is. And the more it becomes what the Father desires. You don't have to impress God. You know, I grew up thinking I needed to impress God with many words and great theological words, and I needed to have good grammar as I was praying, and I would often, and sometimes I still do this, I kind of correct my grammar as I'm praying, like God really cares. The simpler it is, the better. The more personal a relationship is, the less convoluted it has to be. And that's the beauty of the Lord's Prayer. It is so simple. So I would encourage you as you're praying this week to just use the Lord's Prayer as your guide, as your model. And it would go something like this. Father, you're great. Here's my need. Forgive my sin. Help me to forgive. Keep me from evil. That's all. Amen. That's what you call simple prayer. I'm not being irreverent. This is the essence of what Jesus was teaching us to do. And you know, when I see prayer as relational, it's intimate. And as I think about it as just being simple, me just saying what's on my heart to a God who wants to hear, it makes me want to pray more. If it's impersonal, if it's complex, I resist that. Simple prayer. Simple prayer. And then third, and this might seem kind of counterintuitive to what I'm saying so far, but start seeing prayer as a collective experience and not just an individual expression. It's a collective experience. It's meant to be experienced not only in your prayer closet, but in group, in the community of the body of Christ, the family of God. Notice the emphasis on the plural in this passage. In verse 1, we see that a disciple asked Jesus, teach us to pray. He didn't say, hey, Lord, teach me to pray. Forget about these other losers. He said, teach us to pray like you pray. You notice also in the Lord's Prayer, the emphasis is on us. Give us each day. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. You and I are invited to connect with God as individuals anytime, any place, 24/7. And that's great. It's an appropriate thing. And we need to do that because we're by ourselves much of the time. But don't forget, we're also called to experience him together. At one time, in one place, as a collective assignment, even if we're dispersed. And we've been dispersed this year, haven't we? We've not been able to gather. You're in your home and not here. If you're watching online, we've not been able to gather like we normally would. So we're dispersed, but we're still called and we still can experience prayer collectively. And so that's why we have corporate prayer times in our services. I led you in prayer over the communion. I'll lead us in prayer at the end of this message as well. You know, so we have sometimes during the service on non-communion weeks, we often call you down to the front to pray over you as a collective experience. Our ministry teams meet before the service, before activities, and they have prayer together. We did that this morning. The people that are on the serve team here met for just a brief prayer before you even got here. And so there's a lot of ways that we have corporate or collective prayer. And that's why we design an array of corporate prayer opportunities. And let me give you three. One was mentioned already in the opening video. One is Wednesday nights. We have live here in the sanctuary, and you can come in online if you can't be here. We have times of prayer together at 7 p.m. every Wednesday night, beginning back on, I think it's the 13th or the 17th, or this is the third Wednesday or the second Wednesday of the month. Sorry, I don't have a calendar in front of me. But we're going to spend an hour at the most. Sometimes it's 45, 50 minutes in the Word, being encouraged, hearing from God, and then praying over the needs that you send in and the needs that God has put on my heart. It's just a simple way for us to enjoy prayer together. And if you're not doing that, can I just ask you to carve aside time on Wednesday nights, 45 to 50 minutes to an hour, and let's pray together. Simple, intimate prayer. Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. And that's why prayer must be a vital part of the life of Portland Christian Center. We need, and we're going to ramp that up more this year because, again, if anything this last year taught us, we need to be in prayer more than we were. And so please take advantage of that too. This week, this coming week, starting today or tomorrow, our denomination, the Assemblies of God, has invited us to join with other believers around the world in a time of prayer and fasting. That's this week. And just to seek God for His will and for His favor in our lives. And so I'm going to encourage you to join me in that. I would hope that you would pray every day. I would hope that you would set aside extra time to pray. I would hope that you would fast with me. We're putting on the screen for you a link to a fasting guide that I think will really help you, a very simple way to do this. Different ways to fast. Some of you can't, for medical reasons, fast a meal, but maybe you could fast social media. That wouldn't hurt you, would it? Maybe fast the news. Maybe fast some TV this week and use that time instead just to offer your prayers to God for His will and for His guidance and for His blessing. If you can fast and you want to try one meal a day or just one meal during the week, or if you want to join me in fasting every meal all week long, I encourage you to do that. Jesus assumed that we would fast. I know there's more in the Bible about feasting than fasting. And everybody said hallelujah to that, right? Hallelujah to that. But He assumed that we would fast. He said, "When you fast," Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. So He expects us to do this periodically, which we do corporately. So please join me this week. I think it's going to be a powerful thing. Our pastoral staff is going to do this tomorrow. We're setting aside half a day. We're going to meet in an offsite, and we are going to fast, and we're going to pray for you. I want you to know that. We are going to be fasting and praying for you and God's blessing on your life this week. And then three, another way to join in corporate prayer is through what we call our prayer wall on the Portland Christian Center website. You can go on, you can post your needs, and you can see how people are praying for you, which is kind of a cool thing. And you can see what other people are asking from the Lord through the prayers of the body of Christ, and you can pray for them. And so it's a great way to stay connected, even though we're dispersed through the prayer wall. You can do that, and I hope that you will. Galatians 6:2 commands us to carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a great way for us to do that. Listen, let me just say it this way. Don't underestimate the power of corporate prayer. Don't underestimate the power of praying together. Listen, if you want PCC to be a healthier church, a better church, a bigger church, a more impacting church, if you want God's power to be displayed in our services, if you want God's presence to be, you know, fuller in this place, if you want my preaching to be better or shorter, start praying. If you want your needs to be met, then let's pray together. Let's pray together. I love how Acts chapter 12 described the church when Peter was put into prison. It says, and the church was earnestly praying. The church was earnestly, shamelessly, audaciously praying to God. I hope that PCC will be known for that, that we are a church that earnestly prays. Can we do that? Can we join together? Will you join me in doing that? This year, let's ramp it up. Let's ramp up our prayer life as a community. And may we be known as a church that earnestly prays. And then finally, start seeing prayer as fruitful, not dutiful. I mean, it is a duty, it's a privilege and all of that, but I want you to start seeing it as a pathway to fruit bearing. When we understand the flow of supernatural resources that comes into play when we pray, none of the culprits that I mentioned before, you know, poor modeling and bad teaching and resistant flesh and an enemy, none of those culprits will be able to keep us from prayer. When we understand the flow of supernatural resources that comes when we pray, nothing will be able to keep us from robust prayerfulness. I mean, think about what Jesus promised. We will not only receive what we're asking, we will not only find what we're looking for, we will not only break through to what we've been shut out from, but Jesus said, best of all, we'll get those things, but best of all, we'll get the Holy Spirit. How much more will your Father, your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking? We'll get the Holy Spirit. That means that God Himself will come to dwell with us. He will come alongside us. He will live within us, and He will enable us to do what He desires for our life. And we will experience the sweetest fruit of prayer, the sweetest fruit of all of praying. You know what it is? The sweetest fruit of praying is prayer itself. The fact that we're connecting with the Father who longs to connect with us, His dearly loved children. So I hope you will try it. I hope that whatever level of praying you're at, you'll take a next step up to more shameless audacity. I hope you'll try it, because Father God, Abba Father, Papa God is waiting to connect with you and me. And again, that's the sweetest fruit of prayer, but not only that, and to answer our prayer needs, to meet our needs, and to give us what our heart desires, so long as it's within His will for us. He desires to answer our prayers. There was a father who was watching his son, young son, was trying to move a very heavy object, and it wouldn't budge, and the kid was grunting and straining and sweating and trying to move it, and the father stepped up, and he said, son, are you using all your strength? And the boy was kind of irritated, you know, like, what do you think? I'm sweating and running and straining and it's not moving. And so the kind of in an irritated way, the boy said, yes, I am. But his father said, no, you aren't. No, you're not. You haven't asked me for help yet. Are you using all your strength? Well, you're not if you haven't asked God for His help. You know, Billy Graham once said that heaven is full of answers to prayers for which no one ever bothered to ask. Think about that. Heaven is full of answers to prayers that no one even bothers to ask for. You know, in 2021, I don't want a single answer to prayer that awaits me in heaven, left in heaven. I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you. Let's claim what God has for us. Not overcoming Him, not asking for stuff He doesn't want to give us. We're tapping into His willing generosity. Listen, Jesus modeled simple, relational, collective, fruitful prayer. Then He taught us to ask, to seek, and to knock. To ask, to seek, and to knock. And He promised that we would receive. Are you ready to take Him up on that? That's a good place for an amen. Are you ready to take Him up on that? Out there in TV land, are you ready to take Him up on that? Come on, I didn't hear anything. Are you ready to take Him up on that? Yeah, I am. And I hope you are as well. So I want to invite you. I'm going to pray with us, and we're going to actually pray together this Lord's Prayer that's found here in Luke chapter 11. They're going to put it up on the screen for you. It's a different version, again, than the one that we normally do in Matthew chapter 6. But listen, if you're here today or you're watching online and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're there's no way you can be in this intimate, generous relationship with God the Father. So I want to invite you as we pray that you would just open your heart by faith to Jesus. And just confess, it's as simple as this, confess that you're a sinner and you need him. Invite him to come into your heart. I mean, he died to do that. He died to forgive you of your sins and to make you right with God. And just say, Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior, that is the one who forgives my sin, and to be my Lord, the one who then rules my life. And from this day forward, and he will help you with this, make a decision to live in close relationship with him. If you've never done that before, if you've never personally done that, or maybe you've done that a long time ago, maybe you invited Jesus into your life, but you've not really been walking with Jesus in this intimate relationship. Maybe sin has gotten in the way and distanced you from God. Then just re-surrender, re-invite him to be Lord and Savior over you, and he will do it. What a great way, huh, to start 2021? Amen. By giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. That's right. No better decision, no better start to a year than to do that. So please do that. And then we would just ask you to let us know at the end of the service. Our prayer team will be over here at the side of the sanctuary to pray with you. Or if you're online, you can just email us or write in the comment field. Just write Jesus and we'll know what you mean. And we'll connect with you as best we can to help you to walk in the basics of discipleship that God has called us to. So I'm going to invite you to stand in your homes. Would you stand as well, if you would, and let's just honor the Lord, reverence his presence, and as we come to him and as we pray. And together, we're going to read this prayer, and it goes like this. Let's say it together, every voice. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we just offer this simple prayer, and we pray that in every one of those requests, you will answer that for us. God, thank you that you've invited us into this intimate, simple, corporate, and fruitful encounter. And I pray that like never before, we will become a people of prayer. Lord, we will become a people of prayer. With your help, we will do it. We pray this, we thank you for it. In your name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. May
Thanks
you
for
go forth
to
into
Portland
this day,
Christian Center
prayerful,
podcast.
Fasting if you
if
can.
You'd like to know more
and
about Portland
remember,
Christian
God
Center,
is for you. And if he's for you,
PCCtoday.com.
Who can be against you? Bless you in the name of
Thanks
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have a great day.